Hello, everybody. Hey, I'm selling brains here. I'm selling all kinds of brains. You're going to find out they're very cheap, too, yeah. Anybody? Mr. Kraling, nice to see you here.
Hello. You're selling brains, huh?
That's right. Now I tell you what I do. You buy from me today, and I'll tell you what I do. I'll throw in the transplant free.
Free, huh? Well, I had this one for a long time. You don't have one with hair, do you?
Oh, Mr. Kraling, no. The fellow down the street, he's selling hair brains.
How much are these brains?
The price varies. It depends on which one you want.
Then I can have my choice.
Sure. You get to pick your own brain. Oh, who wrote this stuff? Well, anyway, look here. This brain here, see it? Yeah, this one here. This belonged to the president of Harvard University. This brain goes for $5,000.
Well, I should hope it's installed, huh?
Right. Well, okay, so now look at this second brain. This one on page two. This one. This one. There's a brain here, right here. This brain here is a Nobel Prize winner. Can you say Nobella?
Nobella.
Hey, that's good. You're bilinguini.
Thanks.
That's all right. That brain there goes for $10,000. Now look at this third brain. That's the third of three. This brain here belonged to the fellow who wrote this script. And this brain goes for $35,000.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. The brain of the Harvard president, $5,000?
Yeah, yes, that's right, yeah.
And the brain from the Nobel Prize winner, $10,000.
Yeah, that's right, $10,000.
And the brain for the man who wrote this sketch is $35,000.
Yeah.
Why so much?
Well, because it's never been used.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Okay.
That's,
flashback Twin Cities. Saturday, June 1st.
Good.
And I'm here with the legends of broadcasting.
Whoa.
Bud Kraling and Alan Lotsberg.
Wow.
Thank you, and welcome.
How did he get top billing here?
Let's see, K before L.
K before
paid him off.
That was pretty lucky of me, wasn't it? I had to come up with a fast answer. The sketch you just heard, this is from the new Fogey Follies.
Yes. I'll give you a brief history of that. My wife and I, Jackie, the joy of my life, we decided we were going to do senior theater because it was doing well elsewhere around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, we need some money. And she said, talk to your brother. He's got a lot of money. And I said, okay. So I borrowed 10 grand from my brother, spent it all on sets and tickets and this and that. And I wrote and produced the show, and Jackie handled all the tickets and the rehearsals and all that. She's the brains and I'm the mouth for the theater. New Fogey Follies. It was on for 17 years. We opened in 1993 and closed 17 years later. And one of the highlights was, several of the highlights was, Bud Kraling would come out, and he and I would do some shtick. You know, he'd do a pants drop, and I'd say, hey, put your clothes on. Come on. And so,
what kind of show was this? I'm not sure if we want to see this kind of
stuff. That was interesting.
Vaudeville, I guess.
Vaudeville, yeah.
Vaudeville.
It was vaudeville.
I'm not sure, but if we have pants drop, I'm not sure if this is appropriate for this audience.
That's the old vaudeville. Burlesque, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's more
burlesque
like it.
With you guys.
And it ran for your thank you. It ran for 17 years, and we always had a good time. But besides doing on stage shtick with me, he handled follow spot, and he'd do some of the sound stuff, and so he was a technician as well as a show.
Wow. So this is Flashback Twin Cities on KLDD, and I'm Tom Osmond, joined again by the broadcast legends Alan Lotsberg and Bud Kraling, both of WCCO-TV for, I think collectively, if we added both Bud's years and your years, we're looking at
12 centuries.
About 12 centuries, right.
At least. Yeah.
Before the call letters WCCO existed on TV, Bud, right? You were there when it was
WTCN. We were in the Wesley Temple building over by the Minneapolis Auditorium.
And for our younger audience who know WTCN as Channel 11, there's a little bit of a story behind this. It was WTCN was on Channel 4, and they shared that signal, correct?
Originally, as a radio station, they had the ABC network, And we had Walter Winchell on Sunday night.
Wow.
Oh, we were really
hot I've heard of
stuff.
Him, yeah.
Well, then the owners of WTCN Radio got a license to go into TV. So they changed us one weekend from the Wesley Temple Building over to 9th Street, and we became Channel 4. It originally was WTCN Channel 4.
Until you got the more prestigious WCCO call letters, correct?
Right, yeah. I think that changed over about 1952.
And you were there for it.
Yes, I started at WTCN in 1946, and I wound up in 1996. So they kind of let me hang around for yeah. 50 years or so.
And, Al, you were there for 25 years?
Yeah, I think so. I came in 61 or 2, I can't recall, but I came to work, and I wanted to apply for a job in the promotion department. Tom Cousins was the program director, promotion director at the time. And he said, well, can you talk? Can you write? And I said, sure, I do all that. And he said, can do impressions? I said, I did a dog impersonation. And so he says, you're hired. So he hired me. I think it was $400 a month. And I did promotion spots, and I got to work with everybody writing these pieces and then producing them for advertising their own programs on the air.
So I'm picturing the job interview. Did you just bark like a dog for 20 minutes, and then they gave you a job?
Is that That's how that works.
Okay, great. Sure.
Here's how to learn it. If you go...
What kind of a dog is that?
Oh, that was a Chihuahua St. Bernard combination.
Okay. You know, we have a recent Brown graduate in the next room there, and he needs some tips on how to get a good, you know, because he's great here, but he wants to get a morning spot in New York or L.A.
Oh, of course.
So we're going to try to get him to go bark like a dog for his next job interview. And I think that...
They don't even have to ask. I just
right.
How would you do a Pekingese?
A Pekingese?
A Pekingese.
Okay. All
that's
right.
It.
Well,
that's it. He's got it.
We've covered that topic now. Okay.
$400 a month.
You're supposed to say, moving on. Bud, yeah. Bud and Dave Moore, for years and years and years, did what they call happy talk. And it was, you know, chatting between the two of them and saying, oh, boy, your fly's open and stuff like that.
I don't remember that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's okay. All
but
right.
Then the happy talk went on and on. And then it got to be there was more happy talk than there was news or anything else. But it was just they started that stuff.
So we have you to blame for it all then, Bud.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we did a good job. We think of something kind of clever to say that bridged the gap between the hard news and the weather. And one time Dave said to me, you know, I think we've foisted this whole terrible idea on the whole industry, this happy talk. But I thought we were pretty good.
I did too.
Well, people watched. It was people were watching. You guys did pretty well. You did something that not many people are going to do in these markets now is stay at the same station for 50 years and be on the same newscast for, you know, good 30 years.
Yes. Yes, that doesn't happen anymore. There's lots of changes going on, or people get tired of working there, or get something better.
I have, actually, speaking of happy talk, let's listen to a clip from December 1973, shall we?
Yeah. Okay.
So often I get the question, is Bud Kraling really a weatherman, or does he just read some information prepared for him by someone else? Where do you get your weather from, Bud?
Well, a lot of it comes out of the West.
I mean, all those charts and graphs and instruments you use.
Oh, well, they don't mean very much. I usually call the Weather Bureau.
Call the Weather Bureau?
Yeah, I say, hi there, what's the weather? And I write it down, and then I say it out loud to the folks.
Well, don't you have to study the high and low pressure systems and the occluded fronts and the stationary troughs and all that sort of thing?
Well, they have a way of working out.
But what has a way of working out?
Well, those things, whatever you said, those fronts, those things.
Yeah. What kind of education does one need to be a television weatherman?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean such a technical subject as meteorology, it must require some special training.
Oh, well, just living here in Minnesota is an education in the weather.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, like in the summertime, I go outside and the sky is dark and I know it's going to rain.
And if it doesn't rain?
Well, then we'd go on a picnic.
When did you first get the idea that you wanted to be a television weatherman?
Oh, I was a lad in grade school, and I'd wear my raincoat, and it wouldn't rain.
Uh-huh.
And then I wouldn't wear it, and it would rain.
So?
Well, I knew I was qualified right there to be a weatherman.
This kind of disappointing, really, to find out that you're not...
I get tired of people talking to me about the weather all the time, really. Why don't you ask me about my hobbies or current events?
What about current events?
Well, I'm not so hot on current events. I never listen to you when you're doing the news. I'm working on the weather.
Yeah, I understand. The folks on the street, people on the street you see all the time, what's the question most frequently asked?
Well, in the summertime, they ask me, is it hot enough for you? And then in the wintertime, they say, is it cold enough for you?
And what do you answer?
Yeah, it is.
There you go.
All right, I love that part. Dave wrote the questions, and he wrote the answers for me. And one afternoon, we sat down. The reason it's still around, I think, one afternoon, we sat down and recorded that, and he played it then on the Bedtime News that night. And I don't know how many times he had some excuse for running that. He just loved
it. It's a great video, and this can be seen on tcmedianow.com. If you want to hear Bud Kraling and Dave Moore do the weather again, the news again, you can't watch it on Channel 4, but you can see it on tcmedianow.com.
Great.
So, and Al, let's talk about you a little bit, because a lot of people may not know the name Al Lotsberg, but they do know the name Willie.
Name my other name?
Yes.
Yeah, Robert Redford.
A lot
of people don't know that, but we are one and the same. But, yeah, Alan Lotsberg is known in theater world. I've been doing this for 50 years, but in 62 or 63, I went up to Harry Jones, the producer for the kids' show, and he was doing Axel and His Dog at that time, and Carmen the Nurse was going on, and so was, we followed Captain Kangaroo from Network. And so one day I came into the office for Tom, the promotion director, and I said, why don't you talk to Harry Jones and tell him I do puppetry? And Tom Cousins said, do you do it? And I said, no, but I'd like to try it.
Sure.
It's like John Wayne, you ever know how to ride a horse? Sure. What's a horse look like? Right. But so I did, and I auditioned with a puppet, and it was I did a little witch called Vivian Vulture. So that was the first thing was, can I do a little Vivian Vulture here just for a moment? I said, well, she talked like this. Hello. Oh, nice to see you. My. Which way to the toilet? And so that was the beginning of it. And then I said, well, maybe later we'll do the puppet. Maybe I can come out and I can be seen. And Harry Jones, the producer, said, sure. So we did that. I came sliding out on a box, and I opened my mouth, and nothing came out. And it was embarrassing. I stood there for about 3 days and never moved. But the point is that I started with a puppet, Vivian Vulture, and then I got to be Willie Ketchum. John Gallus, dear John Gallus, was Clancy the cop for a while. Then he was Clancy, just a plainclothes cop. And so he needed a sidekick. And so they said, well, let's get Alan here, and he can do that Willie Ketchum. It's a detective agency. So the question is, Willie Ketchum? And the answer is, I doubt it. I couldn't catch a cold in my days. But we did that for a while, and then I got to be a co-character with John Gallus. And the two of us did that for 17 years, I believe. And then John and Mary left television, Mary Davies,
right.
Carmen. And so then I did, what the hell, Alan's Window. It was from, that was
okay, Alan's awful. Window. What do you do in your window?
Well, I cleaned it on Tuesdays.
Great. I don't do windows, so what's
that? So I didn't want to do any more dorky stuff for kids. I said, let's teach them something. So I'd bring in guests from the Science Museum, and we'd talk about solar energy and this and that, and it was just boring. So it bombed.
You know, the Bozo the Clown Show, at one point, when the FCC tried to make TV for kids more educational, they had to make Bozo the Clown. Instead of throwing pies at other clowns, he had to start doing science stuff and start educating. That lasted about 6 months, and they canceled Bozo in Chicago. So yep. I can understand the challenge.
It's got to be entertaining, or they get that stuff at school, and we were trying to enhance that.
Right.
But it didn't work. It backfired. So we went back to pants drops and drooling on camera.
Who doesn't like that?
And tripping over each other. I don't know why. Somebody was talking about a pie here a minute ago. One time, John Gallus and I were doing live in Studio 4. We heard the theme. What was that?
The Warner Brothers theme?
Yeah. Oh, no, the Clancy and Willie theme.
Oh, sure. Okay.
pumped it, da 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 pumped it, da da pumped it, pumped it. Spike Jones, I think it was. And so John didn't know this, but I thought, I got to do this. I want it to be spontaneous, and it's live. So I didn't even tell Harry Jones, the producer. But I got this giant cream pie, and I put it under the table. We're standing there, and they said, stand by in the studio. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Camera. And I took the pie and slammed it right into John Gellis's face. He didn't expect that. And I,
did he appreciate that? Did he like that?
I think that's why he shot me in the leg.
Okay, yeah. All right. You know, I see, for me, I picture John Gellis doing Sunday Morning with John Gellis, this
right.
very somber religious program every Sunday morning.
Yes.
And then you're throwing pies at him. How does this work out?
It doesn't gel. Yeah. By the way, that show has Sunday Morning...
With John Gellis?
Yeah, I guess it's... That was the longest-running show of that nature.
That's right.
I don't know, 35, 30, almost as long as a weatherman, but he
did that on and on.
John Gellis was just a master at everything he did.
And the voice is missed. We miss that voice.
Yes, yes.
Telling us what's next on Channel 4, or we were watching that Winnie the Pooh video. My guest, Al Lotzberg and Bud Kraling, we were watching the Winnie the Pooh video that you guys did on More on Sunday in 1977 mm-hmm. with Dave Moore and Doug Moore. And I want to play just that intro again. We watched this before the show started.
Okay.
And are we ready? Okay.
Backstage at this moment, the members of the ensemble have gathered to fine-tune their instruments. Soloing is the stout, dim-witted, dreamy bear Winnie the Pooh, Mr. David Moore.
Oh, for the life of a bear. Oh, for the life of a Pooh.
As his snub-nosed, neurotic partner, Piglet, we have Mr. Alan Lotzberg.
There won't be anything fierce, will there?
As Master Christopher Robin, stalwart leader of the Enchanted Forest Adventures, Mr. Doug Moore.
Silly old bear, silly old bear.
As the enigmatic rabbit, Christopher's aloof confidant, Mr. William Carlson.
And if it's a pole... I should think it should be stuck in the ground, wouldn't you?
And featured is that marsupial matron Kanga, Ms. Cynthia Osborne.
Roo, 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 are you all right, Roo, dear?
Roo is played this evening by Mr. John Cairns, who is probably off taking another hot bath. As Owl, woodwise counselor and pedant, Mr. Alan Austin.
Encyclopedia! Rhododendron!
And finally, as Eeyore, sad-eyed, sardonic sawdust head, Mr. Jerome Bud Kraling.
Well, anyhow, it didn't rain.
We need a poop, a little coffee.
Journalists doing Winnie the Pooh. I like it.
Oh, that was great fun. We did it in Studio 4. There must have been, I don't know, 30 of us standing there. And
where did the idea come up for this? Like, so who had the idea? Let's take Winnie the Pooh and do a reading of it on TV.
There was a newsman who wrote this thing, as I recall, Bud.
We were trying to think of his name a while ago.
Yeah, I can't come up with it.
He was around for several months. Was quite a producer, well known. Had a history of working in the theater. One of his other hits was The Miracle on 9th Street,
mm-hmm.
which I had a lot of fun doing, the whole cast at the CCO. But we cannot remember the man's name. That was a very talented guy.
Yeah, it wasn't Walter Cronkite.
No, it wasn't Walter.
Eric Severide. Okay.
Yeah,
let's take a break. We're gonna maybe we'll think of these names all during the break. But we'll take a break. We'll be back with Bud Kraling and Al Lotzberg on Flashback Twin Cities. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with my guests. Where are we up to? Al Lotzberg first before that, Bud Kraling. I'll make sure I would give everyone equal, even billing today.
Whatever you want to
yeah,
do.
Okay, all right.
Al Lotzberg is not my name. I don't know where you got that.
Robert Redford and Bud Kraling live in studio.
Right.
Willie Ketchum.
Yes.
Just do the Steve Cannon thing. Do three personalities. Just come in here and just keep closing the door and we'll just do three voices. Piglet, Willie Ketchum.
Eeyore.
Eeyore's here. Eeyore. Right. The whole group's here.
I love that line. Well, it didn't rain.
Bud, we were talking off the air, and you said you worked in radio at three different radio stations before TV, and you said you might have done slightly better at TV than radio. 50 years is pretty good in TV. That isn't too bad.
That's hanging on, I tell you. Toward the last couple of years when I was working for Channel 4, the management would come to me and kind of give me an elbow in the ribs and say, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I'd like to stay one more year. I had in mind I wanted to stay 50. So mm-hmm. I think they were very good to me, very generous, and let me hang around for 50 years. I started in radio at Carthage, Illinois, which is about the central part of the state, at WCAZ. And then I got a little better job in WGIL in Galesburg, Illinois. Then I was in the service for a couple of years. And my wife at that time was working in radio here in the Twin Cities. So I came out of the Army and joined her and got a job at WTCN, the Wesley Temple building. And the big thing was we were the ABC network, and I think I mentioned we had Walter Winchell on Sunday night. A big deal.
And Bud Kraling. The T-shirt you're wearing today, Bud. Let's skip the news and go right to the weather. And there's two snowed-in people here. This is based on a true story.
Evidently, a big snowstorm in the Twin Cities. I don't remember what year it was. And the man who does a wonderful job drawing cartoons for the Tribune. Sack.
Yep, Steve Sack.
He uses that name. Well, it's two guys covered with snow, and it looks like there's a monitor in the middle. And Dave said, well, Bud, I think we ought to skip the news and get right to the weather. I had these T-shirts made, and I made two, one for Dave. And he kind of ticked me off because I gave it to him, and he signed it on the side and gave it away.
I hope it was a nice young lady he gave it to.
No, some guy in the newsroom might.
I think he sold it for $10.
Might have.
Typical. So you and Dave did the news together since 1950. You did from 1957 to about 1987, approximately, right?
Well, that's right. It's getting kind of fuzzy in my memory.
Because everyone changed shifts they were doing between 5, 6, and 10.
No. We started off doing the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock, the 10 o'clock was really the major newscast of the day. And, we had such a good time, and we did the happy talk, and he was a great, great guy to work with. And the happy talk, if I had an idea about something, and I wouldn't tell him what it was, and he would pick up so quickly on something that I said, it was just... felt so much support there that you could trust the guy to bail you out or to keep you going or to make it sound much better than it had, I thought, it to be.
And you've performed in Al's, you performed in several New Foley Foggies, correct? How many years did you do the show?
Oh, jeez. What's your guess, Bud?
Well, 10? I think it was only maybe a couple, but maybe 3.
Maybe it seemed like 10 because it was
yeah,
so slow.
Because
right, yeah.
Two shows a year. Yeah. And I had just retired, and Al and I had lunch, and I said to Al, I've really got to find something to do. When I told my family that I was leaving Channel 4, they were all quite upset. I said, well, you've got to find something to do. So Al and I had lunch, and first you offered me a part in the play, and I didn't think I could handle that. Well, then Al said, well, how about the spotlight? So I wound up doing the spotlight, and... it was great fun. Once in a while, Al and I would do some skit in the show. But basically, I was the spotlight operator.
I'd be standing out there, and I'd say, we got Mr. Bud Kraling up there on spot in a white spotlight. And I'd be alone on stage, and I'd say, Bud, do me a favor, will you? Give me a color that suits my personality.
Yeah.
And flesh.
Yeah.
Vomit green.
Sure.
Something like that.
Oh, pink. Right.
Just, yeah.
Matching stuff. Yeah. By the way, Dave Moore and I was doing theater at the time, and so was Dave. He did a couple shows at the Old Log. And we always sat around and said, what if, you know, because he wanted to be an actor. He was first an actor, Dave Moore, and second a newsman. And I tried to do both. I did television and a little bit of radio and live theater. So I was... juggling out around all over. I was always in, en route to one or the other, and Dave envied that in me because I was still in the theater. And he really is a fine actor, and if he had had his... Well, he did Mr. Roberts at the Old Log, as I recall, twice, I think.
Yeah.
And the guy is really a great actor. He does character and stuff.
Now, the Old Log's just been sold after 60 years of ownership of Don Stoltz.
Yeah, yeah. Just sold it.
Yep.
Well, Dave played Mr. Ensign Pulver.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next... He played it twice, and then he was Mr. Roberts the second time he met it.
By the way, that's just a word for Don Stoltz. All those years out there, and he's finally bowing out and looking for a buyer. He's just—he's Mr. Theater.
We went to a show there this past winter. We actually had the stars in the studio here, Martini and Olive. And I went on a Tuesday night. This is December. It was not a great night to be out driving through town. And I went to the theater, and Don was there. Taking tickets, sweeping, and I thought, Don, don't you have some kids or grandkids that can? And he was doing it himself, and he was great. He was having a great time and saying hi to everyone.
And two of his sons have worked with him, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Set
design and
directing.
Directing.
The relief I have is that the buyer of the theater is not a developer. It's someone who wants to preserve the theater, not make it into a resort or make it into a development.
Yeah.
That's the good news for all of us here.
That's the good news, yes, indeed.
There's a nice story about Don and Clellan Card. They both lived out in that Minnetonka area. And when Clellan Card was doing an Axel show, they would drive in to work together. And I assume they talked about what they were going to do on the way in. And one day, Card said to Don, I think we've got to have a script. I think we've got to organize this program a little bit better. Then Sound said, well, okay. So the next day, Clellan Card, brought in a little piece of paper about this big, about
2 inches
long, with a couple of things. That was the script that he was going to do. So that was the last day of the script. But they all had a great time, and they came so awfully close with sort of blue humor on what they were doing.